Now hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Amen.
You know, I heard someone say a few weeks ago that this was the lentiest Lent they had ever lented. Who would have even thought of giving up church for Lent? And now, as we celebrate the Easter season, the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension, this may well be the most Eastery Easter we have ever Eastered. This year, we enter into the disruptive reality of Easter. I admit, I probably never fully appreciated the season. It was simply the time that the Alleluias came back into the church and the Pascha Nostrum replaced the Venite in morning prayer. I never entered into the world of that first Easter season as the entire world of the disciples is turned upside down. The Jesus they knew and followed, the Jesus of their expectation, had been crucified. And now they begin to encounter the reality of the resurrection. They struggle, they wrestle, they search, they flounder around, and they don't even truly get it until the Spirit is poured out on Pentecost. It is a season of expectant waiting. This is our season of expectant waiting. Our gospel today primes us for an expectation of peace, an expectation of mission, of honesty in community, of belief, and an expectation of life. In our gospel, we find a call to peace. As the disciples are gathered, trying to make sense of everything that had happened, the crucifixion, the report of the empty tomb, the women who came and said that they had met Jesus, and the very real threat of violence against them. In the midst of this disruption, Jesus is present among them, and twice he says to them, "Peace be with you." He calls them to a peace that is not based on the circumstances of the world, but to a peace that is based in the eternal now of the love and sovereignty of God, and manifest even in our temporal circumstances. Not a shallow peace, not simply an absence of conflict, but shalom, the wholeness, the very rightness of the kingdom of God. And in our gospel, we find a call to mission. Jesus commissions the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus has laid down his life for the life of the world, and now he calls us to do the same. Jesus empowers them with the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them like the Spirit blowing across the bones. in Ezekiel's vision. He gives them the spirit of reconciliation, the power, the authority, and the freedom to forgive. In our gospel, we find a call to honesty in community. I love the example of honesty that we find in Thomas and in the disciples who continue to welcome him, even as he has rejected their testimony of the resurrection. We see in Thomas the desire for encounter with the risen Christ and the uncertainty, the utter incomprehension of how that can possibly be. We too share this deep desire to see and meet Jesus in our doubts and our fears. But too often, I'm tempted to cover up, to deny, to hide, to squash, or otherwise avoid acknowledging that I even have doubts. And too often, I push away those who challenge or disagree, those whose doubt threatens to overcome or to uncover my own. However, in Thomas and in the community that welcomes him, even in his doubt, the invitation to bring those doubts to Jesus, these doubts that reveal the parts of ourselves and our lives that are not fully surrendered to Christ. We bring these and we place them in the holes in his hands and the wound in his side so that we can truly proclaim, "My Lord and my God." In our gospel today, we find a call to faith. Jesus looks gently at Thomas. He says, "You have seen and believed." And then he turns to us and says, "Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed." The faith we have and the testimony we've received in the accounts of Scripture, the traditions and the sacraments of the church, in our own encounters, in the midst of our doubts and fears, are indeed our blessings. For in our gospel today, we also find a call to life. John tells us that the reason for his account, the reason that he wrote this gospel, is that we might believe that Jesus is both the Messiah and the Son of God, and in believing have life in his name. It is in the name and reputation of Jesus that we are called children of God, sharing in the inheritance of life that is the Trinity. In believing, we do have life in the Trinity, participating in the eternal giving and receiving of love through the name of Christ. So, how will we answer the call this Easter season, this season of expectant waiting? Will we allow God to define and provide our peace? Will we receive the spirit of mission, being sent to do the work of the Father and the Son, bringing reconciliation, peace, and hope to a world in desperate need? Will we be honest about our need for reassurance in our faith, bringing before God our doubts and fears, and allowing him to be present, responding not with excuses or shame, but with worship, proclaiming, "My Lord and my God"? Will we answer the call to believe? Not some superficial intellectual assent, but a belief and reliance on Jesus as both Messiah and God at the deepest core of our belief, of our being. A belief that guides and empowers all that we say and do. Will we answer the call to live? To live in the name of Jesus within the divine life of the Trinity, the life that is life, and the love that is love. And will we wait expectantly in this Easter season for God to call, to empower and to transform us according to his will? I pray that we will, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.